Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
5 o'clock in the Motor City. Braylon Edwards joins us as he does every Thursday in studio. Braylon, how are you?
Tariq Black. That's how I'm doing, baby.
You called it. Absolutely. I called it.
I'm doing good, man. Just finished the golf outing. We beat the rain. Didn't golf too bad, so I'm all right.
We need to get into this Michigan-Florida game. People, if you have questions for Braylon, 248-539-9797. Now, look, I want to take you back to Tuesday when we got on the air. Your fan base very upset with Wilton Spate. Let's start there. Give me your take on this.
Wilton has to do better. You know, for all the talk that we had off season about him losing 23 pounds, you know, Jim working with him, things coming together, changing the Florida State game, changing the Iowa game, him starting to make the right reads, him starting to put the ball where it needs to be. I didn't see too much of that. I'm very, very upset in what I saw in Wilton Spate. I was expecting to see a guy that worked all offseason with the guru, in quotations, Jim Harbaugh, quarterback guru, that is, and I didn't see it. I saw a guy that was still missing wide open passes. I saw a guy that was still throwing pop flies, like we were just having fun in the backyard with the baseball in the mitt. I didn't see that. I saw a couple good things. There were some times where he threw the ball away as opposed to interceptions. There was a guy, he got out the pocket two or three times, was able to make some passes, some completions. That's something that wasn't there last year. But in terms of where he should be from that Orange Bowl game to where he was this past Saturday, I'm not happy with it.
See, my feeling on it, Braylon, I think Spate will be good enough or adequate enough to get you to that 9 wins. But in the big game, I can't pick him to win a big game.
And when are we going to have a guy that's just not that's better than just good enough?
All right, but the problem is, all right, year three for Harbaugh, and I've said this. People have called in all week, and people go, well, look, well, what about O'Connor? What about Brandon Peters? And I'm going, guys, if those guys were good enough, they would have won the job.
Agreed. You saw O'Connor play. What did you see? I saw the same O'Connor that came in against Indiana and the same O'Connor that needs to be on the bench.
Yeah, but now the question becomes, okay, why did O'Connor come into that game and not Peters? Is it because it was neutral site against Florida?
I have no idea. I really want to know the answer to that. Because Peters is the guy. We saw that in training camp. We saw that he's the guy that clearly is second up as it relates to talent-wise, as it relates to what I saw in training camp. And when I watch spring ball, Alcorn doesn't need to be in there at all, and they need to stop playing the quote-unquote two-headed monster. This isn't Tom Brady and Drew Henson. This is Wilton Spate and whoever the next guy is at this particular moment, which happens to be O'Corn, if you will.
Do you think Harbaugh wants someone else to take this job? I know that's a hard question to answer, but if you know that Wilton Spate can't bring you to a Big Ten title or a college football playoff.
I think he's just playing psychological game. I think he's trying to trick Wilton Spate into being a better quarterback than he is. I think he's really played the psychological card from last year all the way through this season, all the way through training camp. Hey, it's an open competition. We don't know who the guy is. And a lot of people thought that was just BS. And now we're really seeing that he maybe not have known who the guy was. And maybe he's trying to trick Wilton into, I don't know, turning a light on that doesn't exist. And he needs to stop because the real season will be here very soon.
All right. This is one where, you know, we talked about early in the week. And naturally, because of where I went to school, I'm not allowed to say this. I picked Michigan to win the game. I thought there was no way you'd lose it. I didn't think Florida was very good. So when I came in here Tuesday, I go, Braylon, Florida was awful. That's a bad football team. Is that me being a hater?
That's not a hater at all. That's an accurate assessment. From anybody that was going into that Michigan-Florida game, you wanted to see speed. You wanted to see athletic ability on the Florida side. You wanted to see Jim McElwain step into year three as Harbaugh is. Getting his guys, being the offensive guru that he is, he has, quote-unquote, two quarterbacks that can play in Franks and Zaire. We both saw that to be a sham.
Oh, Zaire's not a quarterback. That's
I don't know what he's is.
A body bag.
But speaking of the jersey, we talked about that offline. That was pretty bad.
It's not 1989, dude. You got to roll the sleeves a little bit. I mean, those things were down to his elbows. He looked like Sully in high school.
Doug Williams in the Super Bowl with the Redskins.
Flopping around out there. But no, I just thought, I didn't know what to take away from Michigan, because you look at it and you go, okay, Florida is helpless offensively. Like, the one takeaway I had was, you're not going to run the ball on Michigan.
No,
the
not
front,
at all.
The way that Don Brown lays out the multiple looks, the different variations, and you see the talent. Like, we've talked about it. Mo Hurst's a top 10 pick. Okay.
I need to see more from Rashawn Gary. He looked a little what's the word I'm looking for? And I don't wanna talk bad about the young man, but I will put some out there in the air. He needs to get in shape. He needs not to take plays off. Because there were some times I saw him on the back end where he was just kind of floating in space.
Uh-oh.
There were some times where I saw him and I saw plays come back and he miscontained.
Man, what are Michigan fans going to do? They can't call the ambulance on one of their own.
So I need...
Braylon's got the grill out.
I need to see more from him. I love the physicality of the defense, though.
Yeah.
I cannot recall the last time I have seen a Michigan defense this fast and this physical. I'm only speaking to fast and physical. We'll get into the details later. But they were fast. And I love the first play of the game. Devin Bush says, pow, on the sideline. Personal foul. Oh, well. I loved it. He was here for it. When's the last time you even saw a guy on Michigan take that hit, take that chance to get a late hit? Kaliki Hudson, Maurice Hurst, Winovich. Oh, I love Winovich. Oh, he's a bell cow.
Yeah, he's a player. He's a football player.
So that was good to see.
I said this. I just, until you face a team with a quarterback or just a competent passing offense, I can't answer the question that is the only real weakness on your defense, which would be the secondary.
The back four. I agree.
Braylon, I didn't take anything out of that game. McElwain picked Felipe Franks. He throws 9 passes in 3 quarters. Then you put a guy in who should be running the triple option. I'm going, what? Well, I don't know what to say.
A poor man's Tommy Frazier. It's tough. Like, that is the question that we need. We have the young guys at the defensive back position. And what I saw was, and even Franks was 5 of 9. 3 of those were deep balls.
Right.
3 of those were deep balls where the cornerbacks had no clue as to where the ball was. So that is an area we definitely need to get better. But I like the way our schedule is set up. We have Cincinnati, which will be a walk in the park, and we could talk about that. You have Air Force, which should be another scrimmage. And then you have Purdue, who is a team that can pass the ball. Coach Brohm has stepped in there and gave Louisville a scare. Louisville isn't the team they were last year, but they can pass that ball. So I like the fact that we have a couple games to get ready for the passing game that Indiana and that Ohio State have.
See, Indiana's interesting, too. When you saw it last Thursday, Simi Cobbs and Legau, and they'll throw it without apology. That's a game at least you'll learn a little bit.
Right.
You should beat them, but you'll learn something. But I'm interested to see what Michigan fans have to say. I know we got a lot of people who want to speak with you and ask you questions about it. 248-539-9797, a few of the ticket texters. Braylon, your opinion on the number one jersey being used?
As it relates to both of the guys or just the one side of the ball?
I mean,
that's a double-edged sword.
Or the fact that it's being worn at all.
Jim wants to do what he wants to do. That's on him.
Oh, how PC.
I didn't finish.
Come on.
In my mindset, a guy needs to earn and work for it.
There it is.
I know the guys before me that wore the number one, they had it as a freshman and they did some good things with it. But I think once I took over number one and you saw the story in which it took me to have to wear 80 for 2 years, not be on the same page with Lloyd, and eventually Lloyd trusted me after my sophomore year to wear one, and then me even having a better year my junior year than a better year my senior year, like, that kind of became the staple of one. You have to earn it. You need to deserve it. Because when you're wearing one, everybody's looking at you to make a play. Everybody's coming to you and everybody's depending on you. So Kakoa Crawford is a player, but it's tough. And that goes back to why wasn't Wilton Spate named the quarterback from jump, so that Spate, Black, Grant Perry, which was good to see back, by the way, because he's a guy that's going to make that first down catch. He reminds me of Jason Avant. He's going to get open, has short hands, going to make a play.
I didn't put the interception. You know, it's funny, on TV, they put the interception on him. I didn't.
The first interception?
Yeah, he's a short kid. You throw the ball 50 feet in the air, don't be shocked it goes off his fingertips. That's on Spate.
It's on both, because it's a situation. If he catches it, everybody's going to say great catch, which means he could have caught it.
It would have been a fabulous catch.
Agree, but you wear number one at Michigan for that reason.
So you don't think a freshman should wear number one? That's what you're saying, essentially?
Unless he's just He's got the makeup of, you know when somebody's going to be that guy. Adrian Peterson coming into Oklahoma.
Right.
You knew he was going to be a monster for days and years to come. So when you got a player like that, J.K. Dobbins down Ohio State, you knew he was going to be a player. You know he's going to be a player. It's got to be somebody that you know. It can't be somebody that, oh, okay, well, they look good in training camp. And, you know, it'd be a good year project, and maybe a second year he really can break out. Mm-hmm. I need to see somebody that I know is going to score 8 touchdowns as a freshman.
Interesting.
By the way, David, I heard the audible sigh. Mike Weber probably not getting that job back.
Oh, yeah.
Might be time.
It's a wrap.
Might be time for Mikey to go check out some coursework at UT.
Not to mention the
Rockets.
The backup running back was good, too. Yeah. I guess he's a third string. Yeah. So.
You owe me an apology. You yelled at me. We were watching that Ohio State game the other night, and you yelled at me for that take. Now you're saying it on air.
Time out. Here's what Sully does. Let's have some fun.
Indiana was going down to the halfway through the third, by
You
the
did. So here's what happens. Dobbins gets his first carry. Sully with the bold take, like with a pen in his hand. Oh, that's it. Weber's never playing again. I go, Mike,
hey, wait,
no. Carry.
It was not after the first carry, but it was after
you called it out
in the first half. Yeah
and I'm like, man, shut up with that, will you please? I mean, the dude's not even healthy, but Dobbins did
and
flash,
now you're saying it.
He flashed a lot of ability as that game went
on. I accept the apology, man.
All right,
and he I know we weren't even talking about Ohio State, but it was the way he pass protected. Yeah. It was the way he caught out of the backfield. He ran in between the tackles and he ran outside of the tackles. Every year, Ohio State finds a running back that can get this done. And they ride a 3-year wave with him and eventually find their way in a Final Four or international championship game. It behooves me.
248-539-9797. We'll get the question. A lot of people want to talk to Braylon. Michigan, Florida, and looking ahead to Cincinnati and whatever the hell they are. 97.1. Nothing better than a commercial break spent discussing John L. Smith. All right, Braylon Edwards in studio with us every Thursday.
Yo, yo.
Let's get some of your questions for Braylon regarding U of M. Let's go to Mike. He'll lead us off. Mikey, you're on with Braylon.
Braylon, what up, though? How you doing, brother?
Mike, what's going on, man?
And a question, you already answered my question about Wilton Spate, but do you think that he has the kahunas to take him to the promised land
for the rest of the season? I don't know if it's about his kahunas. I think it's going to be about his chemistry with the wide receivers. As you can see, by Harbaugh not naming a true starting quarterback, the chemistry was a little off. There was times where he threw pop flies at Tariq Black. There were times where he threw completely behind Crawford and as well as Grant Perry. So it's going to be one, Jim getting that rapport with those guys. Like, I need these guys after practice. Like, Wilton, I need you guys out of top guys. Like, I need the guys that you know are going to be getting the ball the majority of the game. I need these guys after practice for 30 minutes. I need to work plays with these guys during practice. I need to work with these guys. That's going to help. And it's also going to help if they can get something going with the tight ends. That's another thing I really didn't too much care for in the game plan. Is last year we had Jake Butt, and obviously Jake Butt's an All-American type of a tight end, so no discredit to him. But there's some guys that can play. Tyrone Wheatley Jr., Ian Button, you saw 84 out there. They got to start some crossing routes. They got to get some things going from the slot position, some mismatches at the tight end position that can open up the wide receivers as well as the running game. So the more that Harbaugh and that offensive coordinating staff help him, I think he can be better down the road. Like I keep saying, I like the way their schedule is shaped. It's shaped for them to get better before they actually play against the real contender, which is Penn State.
Right. Cool. And nobody should be wearing number one because they ain't earned it yet. That's all I got to say.
Especially now on defense.
You're not going to get an argument from me. Go to Lucas, 97.1. Lucas, you're on with Braylon.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, Luke?
Not much. I was pleased and surprised with that Michigan run game against, I think, at least a decent Florida defense. Mm. But I'm still wondering, are we ever going to see Kareem Walker, or should I just get that out of my head?
For now, you should get it out of your head. I think right now Harbaugh is trying to establish that three-headed I won't call it a three-headed monster yet. Trying to establish that three-headed monster, and I said it anyway, with Higdon, Isaac, and obviously Evans. The guys can play. Like, you know, Florida's defensive line and linebacking, they weren't as good as you thought they were going to be. So you can't take their performance as this is going to be the rest of the year. But I think there is something there. And I think that he's going to milk those three before he puts Kareem Walker in.
Yeah, but what does it say about Walker if he can't crack the top three? Now, look, Evans is the playmaker. Evans is fabulous. I think he's an unbelievable weapon. But what the hell? I mean, look, The Kareem Walker stuff, some people believe coming out of high school, he was a big fish, small pond. He just wasn't as good as the hype. Look, he's up here. If he can't crack the top three, what the hell does that say? Running back's the one position you can graduate, go to prom, and show up at camp and start for Ohio State.
But then, too, how much of it is Harbaugh?
I don't know. Harbaugh, I'm asking you.
Well, Harbaugh is a hype guy. We saw what he does in hype situation. He hypes guys up, or he puts guys in situation to get the hype, and then he plays these guys. I.e., Evans is a guy that gets a lot of hype on a Michigan team in which he's bought. You saw what he did last year with Jabril Peppers. He creates hype, and he puts guys in these situations, and he really wants these guys to win. I think that's what he has right now is he wants Evans to be the guy. He wants Evans to win. He wants Higdon to win. Tyler Isaac's only got to run the ball because they were running all over them, and he was spelling Higdon and Evans at times. So for Kareem Walker, I don't know. I don't know. I got to ask Jim Harbaugh that question. I guarantee you if he answers, I still won't know.
Well, the other thing that was interesting is some of their best running plays came on obvious passing down, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 12. I think there was a 3rd and 14 where Ty Isaac ripped off a 32-yarder. It was bizarre almost, because when you think about it, the minute you run that play on 3rd and 14 and you hand the ball off, everyone's groaning going, really?
That's poor outside linebacker contain in what you saw. The DNs came. They got beat in the containment area, and all he did was just kind of make one move, shift, and it was wide open. It wasn't if he really, 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 really earned that 32 yards. He made one move, and it was there all three times. So that's not going to be the whole season, so don't get that in your heads.
Go to Steve, 97.1. Steve, you're on with Braylon.
How's it going, guys? How's it going, Braylon?
Hey, Steve, how's it going?
It's going great. Hey, I just wanted to say that I think the player that really impressed me the most, who I think has a chance to be one of the best here of all time, is Michael Onwenu, local product. And you know him very well, I'm sure. But, man, he looked great. There was a counter that he ran, that didn't look like it was going to get very much, and he and Ty Wheely completely sealed off that D-line. And another play where I saw him pulling, that he was so nimble. I mean, he's pretty athletic.
Yeah, he did move, but the one thing I did see about that, and you're correct, he's very athletic, and I did see that play where he pulled from the right to the left in the boundary. My only question is, why don't they run the ball to the right? Like, my only question is, why whenever they go to the right, they always bring Khalid Hill in motion, and they tell everybody in the arena, oh, by the way, we're going to run the ball right. Or they go double tight ends, and they always have Tyron Wheely on the white and Ian Bunting on the left. So he did pull well, but there are other facets of the game. I did like him pulling, but I want to see them run the ball to the right so I can establish more something about him, as well as passing the ball to the right. So once I see those things, I can make more of an opinion. But he did look nimble, I give you that. And he's a Detroit kid.
Yeah, I was going to say, David, look at him back there, all excited. Okay, yes, David, we're aware he went to Cass Tech. Thank you very much. Jeez, go to Greg, 97.1. Greg, you're on with Braylon.
Hey, Braylon, I was just out at the TPC with you. I was in Rieger's group. You almost hit me with one of your wayward drives.
Hey, man.
But I was talking to Rieger while we were out there.
Was he cursing the whole time?
No.
Pardon me? We did bring that up, by the way. And he said it was overblown. So, but I was talking to him about Michigan, and I need to say that I hate Michigan.
Nice.
But I just believe that with all the strength and the speed that they have, that if Spates can finally pull it together this year, I can see them being in the Final Four and seeing them match up against Alabama at the end.
Oh, boy. I'll leave this to you.
I know, right? You leave me a tough one.
Yeah, you're taking this.
Well, if the Lions had a running game as well as a secondary, maybe they can make the playoffs this year again. That's interesting. I think we don't need to take too much out of this Florida game. Like I said earlier, I said I like the defensive physicality. I like the speed. On offense, you saw we have playmakers in Tariq Black. Even though Kakor Crawford ended up with 3 catches, he still made 3 other catches that were great catches that you can see he has ability, and Evans as well as Higdon. So we have ability. But I'm not going as far as the Final Four yet. I need to see more. Even if Wilton Spate starts to play more, there are still other questions that need to be answered in playing against a team that can play, i.e. Penn State, i.e. Indiana, which is going to be a tough game for us, i.e. Wisconsin, i.e. Ohio State. So I like what I saw to some extent, but we're not a Final Four team yet. But
I just, you can't, I hate how people do that after week one.
You can. It's you just can't.
Here, there's one team I can tell you it'll be in the Final Four. It'll be Alabama. How about that? That's about it. Everything else, I mean, Alabama's just on another level. And they went out and ground Florida State down like a pencil.
What about
and
then Clemson?
I need to see the quarterback.
I
long term. Not against Kent State.
I agree. I agree.
Now, again, we'll find out more. This weekend, you could say Clemson-Auburn. Somebody would be able to declare their arrival. Like, hey, don't forget about us. Same thing this week. Look, Ohio State could drop the game to Oklahoma, still make the playoff.
If Ohio State drops Oklahoma, Ohio State is going to the Final Four.
Oh, yeah.
I got a sleeper, man. I like Stanford. Everybody's talking about Washington and everybody's talking about USC. Washington and USC look average at best.
And you know what Stanford is? They're physical.
Sleeper.
Physical.
Yes, they've always been that way. And they're well disciplined.
It's funny you say it, okay? And I'm going to sound like a loser because I actually watched the first quarter of this game. And it was when they were in Australia and they were playing Rice 2 weeks ago. For whatever reason, they decided to have these games start a week ahead of the regular season.
I aim late the NFL.
Well, but like, look, you take a college team, you fly halfway around the world.
For what?
To play a bad team. But what you just said is the key is David Shaw has them razor sharp. The way that game started, boom, 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 28-0, physical, knocking the hell out of the other team and executing their base offense. And then that Bryce Love kid looks fantastic. But it was the idea of, wow, you watch the first half of all the games last weekend. What was the one thing in common? Slow starts. Sloppy. Stanford opened up the season and just went, watch this. Boom. And just went.
I agree with you. And I've always wondered that when it's the opening game of the season, they always say, it was the opening game. That's why it was a slow start. Kind of took them to the second quarter, third quarter to get it on. The teams that are coached well and the teams that are here to play, they come out swinging. I.e., Penn State may have played against Akron. It may have been Akron.
But got out and did the business.
But they looked efficient. You can see a team play a bad team and know that, whatever. They looked efficient. Stanford looked efficient.
Sully, Stanford, USC, is that this week or 2 weeks?
I thought it was this week, yeah.
Okay. It's this week.
Is that the upset special?
I don't even think it's an upset, to be honest. But based on everybody else, yes, it's an upset. Sam Darnold looked... I don't want to say awful.
I will.
He looked atrocious.
He looked ratty.
He looked atrocious.
He doesn't want to say awful. He goes atrocious.
I had to set you up with it.
97-1.
Report sponsored by Jimmy John's in the Ann Arbor area and 14 eastbound right after Newport Road. All lanes are blocked due to a wreck. There's also reports that US 23 northbound is blocked at Plymouth Road in Ann Arbor due to a police situation. 75 northbound ramp from Dix Highway and Lincoln Park. An accident leaves only that left lane open, and there's a crash on 75 southbound right after the Davison blocking the left shoulder. At Jimmy John's, they spend 6 hours slicing and baking to get you fresh, all-natural meats along with locally purchased hand-sliced produce. Jimmy John's for fresh and fast meat. I'm Michelle Pena and the WWJ 24-hour traffic center.
97-1. All right, ticket text. Braylon is in, talking college football. Some of the questions here. Let's see. Braylon, do you think Singleton and Solomon will play more as the year goes on? Kirk, West Bloomfield.
I was having a technical difficulty.
Sorry, Singleton and Solomon, will they play more as the year goes along?
If they're going to play, I think they would play in the next two games. I think you play those guys in a game like Cincinnati where you know Cincinnati is beyond repair.
Do you see Brandon Peters in either of the next two games?
Ooh, no, that's a good question. I think you do. I think based on how Jim Harbaugh ran that Florida game, based on Jim Harbaugh and just what he does, what he is, I think you could easily see Peters playing the whole second half depending on how we look against Cincinnati. If he gets everything he wants out of his starters and we're, 45 up or 38 up, you can see Peters as early as the start of the third quarter.
Now, all right, so my question is, let's say you played Florida and it was at the Big House. Would it still have been Oakhorn?
That's why I just don't. Jim's a different guy. Any other coach that we sit here and talk about,
I know,
you can literally break them down and you can make an honest guess as to what that answer would be. And you probably would be right. If we're talking about Urban Meyer, if we're talking about Mark D'Antonio, if we're talking about et cetera, et cetera.
And I'm only asking for the people because the people are clamoring for Brandon Peters.
I don't know.
Can't call in for Braylon, but is there anything we can start to conclude about Michigan's secondary? Biggest question mark for me coming into the year, and I still feel like I know nothing. That's from Graham.
That's a good assessment. What I did see, you did see the youth and an experience out there, because there were times in which they were just running with the receivers and they didn't even turn and look for the ball. A good DB knows that when the receiver puts his hands up, that's when the ball is coming. That's kind of when you turn your head, put the ball up. They literally were just running with the receivers and letting the receivers catch the ball. I saw one good pass breakup by Kendall at the end of the game on the left sideline. He had a good knockdown, one in which he could have intercepted, but, you know,
Braylon,
I'll take it.
Which team is worse, Cincinnati or Bowling Green? Push?
No, Bowling Green looked halfway decent until...
If Bowling Green had a QB, they would have put a lot more points on State.
Exactly. Cincinnati's... I can start naming Cincinnati's stats from last game. First of all, Austin Peay outgained them 313 to 248 yards. Austin Peay had 20 first downs, and Austin Peay only lost by 12, and he had two turnovers in which they were driving in the scores. So that tells you a lot that Austin Peay was that close to beating Cincinnati.
Braylon, how much trouble is State in against Western this weekend?
A lot. Oh, a lot. I hate to say it, Mike. Jesus. I hate to say it. I watched that USC game, and Western came to play.
I know.
They made a Heisman Trophy. Actually, not even a candidate. He's the front runner.
He's supposed to be the number one pick, the guy people are tanking the draft.
Et cetera, et cetera.
I didn't see it.
Western wasn't here for it. Western played a tough-fought game, and they got a gamer at left tackle, folks.
Oh, Chuka?
Gamer.
What the hell is his last name? Mike, you pull that up. He's going to be a first-round draft pick. I think his first name is Chuko or Chukwa.
Western is definitely coming to do some damage.
Listen, I know that. And it's a no-win spot for State. You beat them, well, you should. And if you don't, oh, my God, crazy embarrassment.
I hope they win, though. Like I'm hoping they can win, string along some wins so that when we play them that it's a nice –
you get some sizzle for the rivalry. Yeah.
Not to mention you can get their best, which you'll probably get anyway, but you can get their best.
You'll get their best. It's funny, you and I talked about this during the break, and it was like I said the other day for Michigan.
I don't want their best. I want a legitimate game best, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, but we talked about it.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like I said, for Michigan fans, your schedule softens up, and at best, your first challenge would be the fourth when you play State. And at worst, it would be Penn State if you don't respect Indiana, and it would be October 21st. And people were like, you can't say State's a challenge. You don't think they're very good. And I go, guys, they're not, but it's the rivalry, and it's different. It's always different. And you and I just talked about this. You said it. It doesn't matter, like, even who the players are. That game takes a lot out of you. You're going to face a team whose hair is on fire. And unless it's a year where State's firing a coach, right, the games are usually a real bitch to play in.
You got to think about that game in this context. They're 38 miles away from each other. In the offseason, these guys overlap in a lot of circles. They bump into each other. They date the same women. They go to the same parties. They hang out in the same places. So you want to beat this person. I don't want to have to look at you for 364 days after you got the win. And I know I'm going to see you at some point. So they're going to go into that game and they're going to fight like cats and dogs. I just don't see State winning, though.
No, it's more about facing a challenge where you can learn something.
Right.
I mean, all right, how about this? Florida don't have a quarterback.
Ooh.
Cincy don't have a quarterback.
They don't have a team.
Okay, hold on now. Cincy don't have a quarterback. Air Force doesn't try to throw the ball. Now, Purdue, you and I will disagree. David Blow, I'll leave that alone. And then, Ondular, or whatever the hell his name is. I don't think their QBs are any good. The best quarterback you're going to face in the first five weeks, it'll be Lewerke.
I think Lego.
You face Lego after us, though.
Oh, so he's the first
five I'm
weeks.
Saying that's okay, the first QB. No,
that's
and
real.
I don't think, listen,
that's
I don't
legit.
Think Lewerke's a superstar.
He's not.
He might be dead by week five, the way he plays. I'm just saying, it's like there's a reason I said what I said.
Right. Yeah, you know, you can't make a valid assessment until you play against, you know, something at quarterback.
I think I'll know a lot more about State than you'll know about Michigan, because I think Western's going to be legit. I think Notre Dame looked good to open.
They look good. They can run the ball. That's one thing. You can run the ball.
Yeah, you can't fake it.
Look at Wisconsin. Wisconsin started off the game struggling. Started off struggling against, who did Wisconsin? Utah State?
Yes. 10-0.
And then what happened? Gave the ball to the freshman, Jonathan Taylor. the rest is history. They end up winning 59-2.
It's like when Western ran it on USC. They ran for like 256, and they ran it at the – you can't fake running the ball.
You can run the ball. It opens up everything else.
Guess what State can't do? Oops. Sully, do we have a confirmation on Western's left tackle who's going to be a first-round draft pick, and we need to learn his name?
Yeah, Chukwuma Okorafor, if I'm that anywhere remotely close.
So natural.
Did you say chloroform? I think that's illegal in a lot of places.
Chukwuma Okorafor.
That's a first-round
number
pick.
Number two, a rated offensive tackle.
Nice.
On draft scout.
Yeah, well, he's going to feast on our walk-on defensive ends.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.